So if you would keep your Bibles open at that passage, that would be really helpful. And let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we pray that in your written word and your spoken word this morning, we may meet Jesus, the living word. Amen. I wonder if sometimes, if you're honest, you find yourself trying to avoid taking responsibility for your actions. Many of you will know that my husband Paul is a teacher, and he's heard some excuses over the years from pupils. One boy who lived in rural Oxfordshire said, "I'm sorry I'm late, sir. I slept in a tent." Or another one of his was, "I'm sorry I'm late, sir. My dog was bad." Other things you might hear, perhaps you've heard these in your family. "I hit her because she hit me first. I broke it because he left it in my way. I failed that test because the teacher didn't explain it well." The underlying problem here is refusing to take responsibility for one's actions. In our reading today, there's quite a bit about the responsibility we have as we live our day-to-day lives, particularly as we come to the end of this Frontline Sunday series, which has been looking out to how we are to live Monday to Saturday in all our different places. So, how are we to live? Well, verses 12 and 13 to start with, we see that we're to take responsibility for our own lives. Our passage begins, "Therefore." And as I've said before, when you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. And that word links it with the last section, that lovely hymn speaking of the example that Jesus has set us in humility and obedience. "Therefore," says Paul, "we are to work out our salvation." It's what we all have to do in following Jesus. It's our response to the sacrifice he made on our behalf, humbling himself, becoming obedient to death on a cross. It's really important to be clear that to work out our salvation is not about trying to earn it, perhaps by doing good things or thinking that we're saved by going to church regularly. Paul is very clear elsewhere that we are not saved by our works, but by grace, all that God has done in Jesus, and that this is the gift of God to us. Salvation is a key word in the New Testament. It's a big word. It's about being delivered, escaping from sin and death. And another word for it is freedom. We have been set free by Jesus, free from guilt and shame and the fear of death, free to know God and to love others, and free to be the person God has made us to be. It's not that we've earned that freedom. It's given to us through Jesus. We already have it, but it is something that we have to work out, to explore and enjoy. And it's a bit like a marriage. Yesterday, many of us witnessed the wedding of Ed and Charlotte. They are now married. That is done. Married life is theirs. But yet a marriage also has to be worked out, because it's a lifetime of exploration and discovery which has to be worked out day by day, year by year. And the same is true of the freedom we have in Jesus. We have to take responsibility for growing as a Christian, for exploring that gift that God has given us, and continuing to do so. We've been thinking about our Monday to Saturday lives this term, that wherever we are, God is there, that whatever we do, we work at it with all our might for him, and that we begin all our activity as children of God. That is who we are. Part of the task of working out our salvation is precisely all those things, walking with God and being open to where he is using us and where he wants to use us as we go. We work out our salvation as we keep on digging into the truths of his word, joining others to do that in a small group perhaps. Lent gives us a great opportunity to reflect, and I'm hopeful there'll be some Lent books next week. It's also being open to God's call on our lives. We each have different gifts, and next term we're going to think about those, and we want to work out what they are and use them for God's glory. And we work out our salvation, Paul wrote here, in fear and trembling. But that's not because we're frightened of God or tremble at the thought of putting a foot wrong, but because it matters. We're in awe of what he has done for us, and we don't want to waste our lives. When I was starting to explore ordination, one of the things that I found really moving was the thought that if I didn't bother to explore it properly and fully, in 20 years' time, I might look back and conclude that I had, in fact, ignored God's voice. And the age I would be by then would mean that it was too late. I love that quote from Mark Twain that says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbour, explore, dream, discover. We are all already in the places where we are working out our salvation, in the office, at home, our school, our neighbourhood. But for some of us, there may be a new calling from God that we need to explore. But then look who we're working with. Paul writes, we continue to work out our salvation because it is God who works in us. We do our bit and we rely on him. A bit like a gardener does, we have a role to play, but the growth comes from God. We work out, God works in. We need God to make us even want to act according to his good purpose, and it is his work in us that means we actually do it. Sometimes I think we think that God will make us do something that we have no desire to do. But he calls us where our hearts are. He is at work, he is active, and he doesn't let us go. So we're to take responsibility for our lives. That's the first thing. And secondly, this passage says something about how we're to live in the world around us. We live as children of God and as stars in a dark universe. Paul told his readers that they live in a crooked and depraved generation. Those are harsh words, and it's true of us today. We don't live our Christian lives in a happy bubble where all is well with the world. We live in a generation where things are twisted and contorted out of shape, where values and behaviours are all over the place, where there is no big picture of the world anymore that we all sign up to. And if it works for you, that's great. You follow your truth. Our nation has largely turned its back on God and his ways. And as we have learned this term, only 6 people in 100 go to church once a month or more. There is no steer on the healthiest ways for how relationships should be conducted. We live in a generation where, as long as it's not breaking the law, almost anything goes in many areas of life. It's not difficult to conclude that there is darkness in our generation. And that, says Paul, is where we come in. We are to shine like stars in the universe, in the darkness around us. We follow Jesus, the light of the world, and he enables us to shine. I remember arriving at a youth hostel in the Brecon Beacons late one Friday night. It was pitch black. The youth hostel was off the beaten track, as they often are. But as we stood and looked up at the night sky, we became more and more aware of the sheer number of stars that were there shining in the darkness. Perhaps you've had that experience. We are called to live lives that are different from those around us, that we are called to be distinct. And William, in what he shared this morning, spoke of how he's doing that. Firstly, do everything without complaining or arguing. Drat, why did that have to be in the Bible? It's good to have a good old moan at times, isn't it? Here, the meaning of these words are about rebellion against God in our complaining. Murmuring is probably the best word to use. There's something in there about feeling sorry for ourselves, not trusting God, being discontented, living with the wrong attitude. Are we always critical of small things? Do we do things to be helpful, but we moan while we do them? How we speak, what we say, they matter. If we live without complaining or arguing, Paul says, we will become the children of God that we are, but without fault. And before you despair, because you will never be blameless and pure, it's helpful to know that the sense is more about living wholeheartedly for God. And in so doing, we can live lives that are noticeably different from those around us, where people spot it in how we live and what we say. We are to live with good character and a clear conscience, and in some way to reflect Jesus, whose example has gone before us. We live as his children. That is who we are. And we depend on him to work in us so that we will shine. And the other way in which we shine is that we are people of God who hold out the word of life to others. It's the beginning of verse 16. We live in a generation desperately needing God, and in fact open to the things of God if we are but brave enough to speak about them. And that's, of course, partly what our Lent course is about, equipping us to do. The good news of Jesus not only tells of life, but it gives life to those who hear and respond. We hold on to the word of life as it's written in the Bible. And we hold on to the living word, Jesus, who came to give us life to the full. And we hold these out to others. We are to shine like stars in our world, and through how we live and what we say, we are to offer the word of life to those around us on our front lines. So we're to take responsibility for our Christian growth. We're to shine out, piercing the darkness of our world. And more briefly, we have a responsibility to each other here in the church, those last couple of verses. We thought last week about how important it is that we keep on meeting together. Paul has worked really hard for the Philippians, and he gives us two images. The first one is this one. All over the world at the moment, there are athletes preparing for the Olympic Games in July. It's hard work, only day after day of diligent training, keeping going when they feel like giving up, make it likely that they will take part and do well. So too, Paul has run, he has labored for the Philippians. He cares for those Christians so much. And the second image is an image of sacrifice. A drink offering was the small final offering that completed a sacrifice. Paul wrote to the Philippians from prison. Day by day, he was aware of the sacrifice he had made for the gospel as his life was being poured out. He loves God's people and is willing to pour out his life for their sake, even if that means his own running and labor on their behalf and the sacrifice of himself. Our vision document says that we want to share and celebrate the Christian life together here at St. Nick's. It involves putting each other first and building each other up, and it may mean pouring out ourselves for each other. We're going to be looking more after Easter at our fellowship together. Now, each Sunday in this series, we've had something to take home into our Monday to Saturday life to remind us during the week. We've had coasters and cards and pencils and beads, And if you missed one of them, there are some left on the desk at the back if you want to take one home. Today, at the end of each of your pews in the aisle, there's a little envelope and some pens. So I'd like somebody to open the envelope and take out the grey dots there and pass them down across the aisles. Each of the grey dots has a little red star on it, because we are to shine like stars in our dark generation. If people can pass them on to the side aisles as well, that would be great. I think there should be enough. So for just one moment before I pray as we conclude, please would you write on your grey dot the name of a place or a person or a situation where you can offer light in the darkness, where you can be that star and shine and hold out the word of life. And then please take it away and pray through this week. So I'm just going to give you a moment to do that. So let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you that we cannot earn your salvation, but we pray that you would help us to work it out day by day, and that we would know you working in us as we do. And Lord, please be with us. Please help us to shine like stars in this generation in which you have placed us, that we may hold out to others the word of life. Lord, please use us in all the situations that we represent here this morning. In your name, amen.